This episode of the Beauty Industry Podcast was brought to you by InSkin Cosmetics. Hello and welcome to the Beauty Industry Podcast, your online support community for the professional beauty industry. I am your host, founding director of Beauty Industry, Tamara Reid. Here, we are closing the competitive gap and speaking your language. This is a platform created and dedicated to the professional beauty industry, valuing community over competition. We serve to help connect you with inspiration from industry experts, expand your knowledge through educational pieces, and bring you the latest in product and technology innovation. This is Beauty Industry. Today, my guest is Kat Armstrong from Lush Skin and Laser Clinic. Kat had a moment of alignment while walking down the streets of Armidale with a literal sign that spoke to her internal entrepreneurial spirit, which called her to take a leap of faith and open her own space. After developing a consistent and loyal following, Kat made the move for love down to Shepparton to start her family before, and quite literally, I mean days before, having her first child, opened up her second business, Lush Skin and Laser Clinic. Recognized as Shepparton's most reputable and innovative aesthetic clinic and laser clinic, Lush truly sets the bar, offering the most advanced, safe, and highly effective non-surgical treatments along a five-star service. Since opening Lush, Kat and her team are continually working towards offering the most cutting-edge aesthetic treatments for their clients and do so in a way that is out of the box, forward-thinking, and always houses an element of fun. Today, I have the pleasure to sit down and talk to Kat about her career journey thus far, the Lush Skin and Laser difference, what importance she places on machinery that she selects for her business, and what she's up to now to give back to clients. Here's Kat and I for Beauty Industry. Kat, welcome to the Beauty Industry Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Tamara.
Ah, the pleasure is all mine. This chat has been a long time coming. I've wanted to get you on here for the biggest amount of time and have a chat to you. But of course, 2020 happened, world turned upside down. You guys were just absolutely going forth like there was no tomorrow. So I'm glad we got some time in 2021 to sit down together and have a chat live.
Thank you. Very excited.
So we start all of our episodes right back at the beginning of the person's career. And I'd love to start with you there today. How did you get into the beauty and aesthetic industry?
Look, the beauty industry was something that I have always been very passionate about from a very young age. And following completing my high school years, I secured a position working in a beauty salon, and predominantly most of that work was offering facials, beauty services, your manis, your pedis, your waxing. But I always had this burning desire that skin was really the path that I wanted to continue down. I really wanted to treat skin. And I guess the opportunity in that business wasn't there for me to progress towards moving to that direction. So I spent the next few years really furthering my education, delving deeper into skin and treating skin. And it wasn't until many, many years later when I was walking down the streets of Armidale and I saw this wonderful sign in the window that said top floor to let to a beautician. Mm-hmm. And I loved this old, beautiful, historic building. And I just thought, wow, imagine having my own little business up there. And that's when I just had this overwhelming feeling that the time's now. This is a sign. There's something about this that's telling me that I need to go for this. And that was back in 2012 when I opened my very first clinic in Armidale in Melbourne.
So exciting. They always tell you that, you know, you should look for signs and, you know, if you see a sign, this is it. And yours was literally a sign. So what happened after that day? I mean, you didn't have any business owner experience before that, did you?
No, I didn't have any business owner experience, and I financially wasn't in the position to go out and set up a clinic either. It's extremely expensive to do that, to do the fit out and the equipment and to get your brands in, your website. There's so much to consider. So I actually worked for the first 9 months that I opened the doors of the clinic in a factory in Dandenong, doing night shift packaging Carmen's muesli, believe it or not. And I knew that if I put my head down in that first 9 months, 10 months, and I had this extra stream of income, I could continue to develop and grow the business. So I actually lived on about 5 hours sleep for the first 9 months of running my business in Armidale. So I would finish, get a couple of hours sleep in after the clinic, then head off to my nighttime job working in a factory. And I knew that I needed to really dig deep, work hard for that first establishing stage of the business so I could save up enough money to invest in great equipment. And, you know, I'd already tipped all of my savings into setting the fit out of the business up, but I knew I wanted more than that. So I actually worked two jobs and worked really damn hard in that first year to create my dream, to follow my dream and I guess get the business where I wanted it to go. And it really, really did pay off.
That is so cool. I think that takes a lot of self-belief. You know, I don't think many people would be able to back themselves nor be that resilient to keep on going and keep on pushing. I think a lot of business owners these days kind of, you know, have a little following on Instagram and then go, oh, I'm just going to open a business. They open the business, they stand there, there's no clients, and they rub their fingers together going, okay, well, what now?
Exactly right. And when I opened the clinic in Armidale, I didn't have one single client on my books. And the overheads also operating in Armidale are quite an expensive area to be operating in. And look, a lot of people thought I was crazy working this nighttime job, and it was a means to an end. I knew why I was doing it. And a few people said, you know, you're crazy. That's ridiculous. But it was short term, and it was those stepping stones to, you know, to go where I needed to go. And I'd always come from a upbringing of a very strong work ethic. And I wasn't afraid to work really hard to achieve that goal. And I'm so glad that I did that. It wasn't easy. It was extremely difficult at the time. There's no question. But when you've got a goal in sight, I guess I just knew that that was something I needed to do.
Oh, good on you. I love stories like that. That's so special. And it's obviously paid off because you're still in business, you know, you're not back working at the factory, are you?
No. No, I'm still in business, and I've been extremely fortunate, and I look back and I wouldn't have done anything any differently.
Yeah, how special. So then how do you go from Armidale to Shepparton? What's that link?
So I met my husband, who is a farmer in Shepparton. So he's a canola farmer here, and obviously he had no intentions of moving to the city. He loved country life and loved farm life. And I had been living in Melbourne for 13 years, and I think I was ready for a little bit of a change. I wanted to slow down a little bit. And we knew that the move to Shepparton was on the cards. And so we sort of discussed what was going to happen with my work. And we decided that for the time being, I would be travelling back and forth to see my clients in Melbourne. And I think my husband sensed I was getting a little bit bored here in Shepparton and maybe thought, oh my goodness, what if she doesn't like it here? What if she wants to move back? And he came home one day and he said to me, I found a shop for you in town where you could start your own business here, because I know there's nowhere else you want to work in Shepparton. And I mean, I looked around and there was really no other businesses here in Shepparton in my industry that really interested me. They were doing, you know, your beauty services, but not your high-end aesthetic treatments that I really thrive and enjoy doing. So he said, why don't we open this little clinic for you, and you can work a couple of nights a week whilst we're having our family, and you'll be happy here. So we went to have a look at this tiny little shop, and it wasn't probably the most aesthetic looking premises when he took me through, but God love him, he laid the floors and we painted the shop, and we presented it as best as we possibly could, and we opened the doors on Tuesday, and we had my firstborn daughter Ella on the Friday.
Oh my goodness. Wow, okay, this is crazy.
Absolutely crazy.
Yes, wow, okay. So when he comes to you and says there's a shop for lease and you're standing there pregnant, mm-hmm. What makes you go, let's look at the shop?
The fact that I missed my work so much.
Mm.
When I'm in the treatment room with a client, I'm in my element. It's something that I can't explain. Transforming skin is something that, oh my God, I come alive every time I've got my hands on a client, and not being able to do that, he could sense that I was missing that. And knowing I was about to have become a mum, obviously I didn't know what I was in for exactly. And I was thinking, how hard can it be juggling being a mum and a business? But I knew that I missed my work so much. So I thought, I have to find a way to make this happen. And it might only be that it's 2 evenings a week, and I would be happy with that. So it was always, we were moving forward with the intention that it would be something that would only be a part-time thing, just to still allow me to work my craft, do what I loved, and still be myself and who I was whilst becoming a mum also.
Yeah.
Which I think is really important.
Very important. Yes. I'm feeling that, sense of, oh my goodness, am I still going to be me once I'm a mum? So I understand how that feels.
Yes.
So then tell me, you still service some of your clients in Melbourne. Were they your existing clients, or have you developed that relationship further since being in Shepparton?
So I retained, what I would call my VIP clients from Armidale that had been with me from the very beginning. They're still with me now. We're in our eighth year, and what I do is I communicate back and forth, commute back and forth from Melbourne to Shepparton to see them. And initially, when I moved back, that was on a weekly basis. And then when the children came along, it became a fortnightly basis. And now I try, if I can, to push that out to about 3 weeks, but it just depends on the demand. So I still travel back and forth. And, you know, often people have said to me, it's come up in conversation, you know, do you think you'll ever stop doing that? And I've been traveling back and forth for 7 years now. This is my seventh year. And I think doing that is going to be a very difficult thing for me to do, because my clients in that time that I've traveled back and forth have never missed an appointment, have never called me last minute to cancel an appointment. They are so dedicated to what it is we're doing with their skin and their journey. And I would feel like I was really letting them down. And I love them. These clients have become more than clients. They trust me, and that takes a long time to build that trust with your clients. And I've always said to them, I'm sure that when it comes time that my children start school and their activities increase, that this arrangement may change. And I still have clients from Melbourne travelling to Shepparton to see me if they can't see me in Melbourne. So it's amazing the relationships that you form with these clients. And I kind of feel like I've got the best of both worlds. I have that country life, but I also get to skip down to Melbourne in a couple of hours. I'm there and still have that beautiful weekend in Melbourne with my clients. So I feel like I'm very lucky. I've got the best of both worlds. I really do.
Yeah, it's that nice compromise between being a city girl and being a country girl, isn't it? You're relaxed, absolutely, but you're also chic at the same time.
Yes.
So then,
I like that.
Yeah, relaxed and chic. So then you've got your clinic, your hubby, who sounds like super hubby, by the way, has helped you design it and fit it out. How do you grow it to the point where you start developing a team, and not only a team, but quite a dynamic, large team, if I can say that, in Shepparton?
Mm. Well, look, Tamara, the one thing with the Lush in Shepparton is I never ever open those doors with the intention of it becoming a business.
Mm.
As big as it is now, it was only ever going to be myself as a sole operator, having a handful of clients, and just enjoying, as I said, what I was doing. I loved my work so much. But in that first 12 months, I can't even explain what happened. It was word of mouth. It was friends telling friends, family telling, you know, relatives. It was just, the word of mouth was absolutely incredible. In that first 12 months, I had over 800 clients, and I could no longer service everybody. The phone would be ringing, there's emails, and I realized, wow, this has become bigger than I can handle. And I was no longer working two nights a week. I was almost working every night of the week, and I was throwing a couple of days in there as well. And I thought, I really need some staff to help me. And that's where the business slowly started to grow. And I realized that I needed, a receptionist to handle my inquiries, and I needed another therapist. So it very quickly evolved into something that not even I could have foreseen would be happening here in Shepparton. And a few times I thought, wow, I feel like the horse is getting away on me here. This is getting way too big. Is this really what I want? But I could see that the demand was here, the clients were happy, and I'd managed to secure some great therapists, and that didn't happen straight away. That was a learning curve. I hadn't had experience as a business owner, so hiring staff was also something that was very new to me. And I very quickly learned that it's better to be short staffed than be wrong staffed. Little things like that I learned along the way. I didn't have any leadership skills. I didn't have any team building skills. So I was also not only, learning to be a mum, learning to run this business, but also the challenges of learning to manage staff and train staff. And when you've got very high expectations of your standard and how you like things, the level of training and what I expected from the staff was very high also. And I realised that to find great staff here in Shepparton as well, regionally, I was going to have to put in a lot of work to train them to the standard that I expected. So it was a huge learning curve for me here in Shepparton to be growing that business at that time as well.
Yeah, well, I've definitely heard that from a lot of business owners. I mean, obviously, one of the biggest struggles for any business over is always their team and always the management
Absolutely.
Of people. But I think rural, it's even more difficult because you can't just turn them in and out, take a number, no, don't like you, leave, because the pool is dry at the end of the day. So how Absolutely. Have you navigated learning how to lead and learning how to be a boss?
Look, I think the first thing that I learned when it came to developing a team is that with the interview process, the times that I got it wrong, I was desperate. I thought, oh my gosh, I really need staff. This is a qualified beauty therapist. I'm desperate. I didn't really go with my gut. And I think my gut is a really powerful thing. And when I don't follow my intuition, I get it wrong. And every time I got it wrong with staff, I didn't follow my gut. So what I have learned is when I'm sitting down with therapists and I'm interviewing them is to really create an atmosphere where they can really be open, really showcase who they are, ask them questions about not just them as a therapist, but them as a person. Tell me a little bit about what you love, what makes you tick. So there are things that I learned as well along the way with staff. And the two of my incredible therapists that I have now, one of them was actually a therapist that was coming in to have a treatment. And she had such a beautiful energy about her the moment that she walked into the clinic. And I said to one of my staff members, who is that girl? And she said, she's a beauty therapist. She's still studying. She's about ready to finish. And I said, can we please pop on her notes that the next time she's in, she should apply for a position here? And sure enough, the girls did say to her, you really should apply for a position. And when I found out that she was looking, I sat down with her. And again, that gut feeling, I just thought this therapist, everything aligns, her values, how she believes and perceives the industry. So I guess developing a team, I started to look for more those qualities in a therapist. I think if they have the passion and they have the energy and the drive, you can teach them a lot of those things in the clinic as far as treatments and services, but the fundamentals need to be there. And that's something I've learned about developing a team is finding the right therapist based on their views and values as well for the industry.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, makes so much sense, definitely. And I love what you said there about finding out about the personality. And when I used to recruit, and actually for Team Beauté as well, when I do recruit, the first thing I say is, what's the last book you've read? And yes. Because it throws them off, it throws them out of that interview awkwardness, scariness. I have to answer the perfect sentence here, or, what does the business owner want me to say? So I say, well, what's the last book that you've read? And they'll go, oh, oh, I don't know. And then it kind of just takes them out of that scenario. And then we get chatting, it breaks the ice. And then we go into, okay, tell me a bit about yourself. Why are you looking for the role? But I love what you've also said there about finding the values. Is that something you've had to work really hard on in your business to find out what your values are and what you accept?
I believe that I'm somebody who leads by example. I turn up to work early for my clients. I present well. I make sure everything's prepared. When I'm in that clinic, I work really hard and I thrive off working very hard. And I think I have the right team around me that they see the way that I work and they also thrive on that energy as well. So I think leading by example with your team is very important. And I think I have a team that can see my vision. You know, we often have weekly meetings and we talk about, you know, the direction that we're going in and what might have popped up that week and what's our next sort of move with handling challenges. Or I think direction and connecting with your team is very important. And that's something that I've also had to learn along the way, very much so.
After the break, Kat and I open the conversation on the dual role of motherhood and business ownership, and two, why she's offering free treatments to clients undergoing treatment for cancer. But first, a word from today's Beauté partner. A trusted mentor, industry expert, and wealth of knowledge, Maria Coccoloni and her team work diligently across the country distributing brands such as O Cosmetics, Ginger & Me, Dermapen World, and many more. One of the many reasons they've recently won the Australian Beauty Industry Award for Best Business Performance of the Year in 2020. To find out more about the brand, you can do so over at www.inskincosmetics.com.au. Thank you so much to the team at InSkin Cosmetics for making this episode possible. And now back to Kat. Has being a mum helped you be a better business owner or vice versa?
I can't see how that has. I think I've maybe learned to be more patient since having children, and that may have followed through into the business. And to be a little bit more flexible, absolutely. And I guess just to not put so much pressure on yourself. I think being a mum has taught me it's okay not to have everything done, and it's okay not to have an impeccable standard the way that I want it every single time. You're not always going to get that. So I've learned to relax that a little bit, I think, and that's where maybe being a mum has sort of also flowed through to the business.
Yeah, I think the patience thing, because once you're kind of running on kids' timelines who don't have any timelines, you know, it definitely makes you a lot more patient and probably appreciative of how strict we are with timelines in our industry as well.
Absolutely.
So then talk to me about the technology that you guys use, because your business is a machine-centric powerhouse. What goes into your machine purchasing decisions? Because I know that there's a lot of business owners who just kind of go, oh, I've seen this on Instagram, I'm just going to chuck it into my business. And then the LED sits in the corner and it's all dusty and no one uses it. I mean, how do you qualify whether you're actually going to put a machinery into your business or not?
Look, I think one thing that we really do before we look at introducing a new device is we do our research. We always talk to the clients, and let's say, for example, you know, at the beginning we're seeing a lot of clients who are wanting their age spots treated, for example, and, you know, you peels, all of that, it takes time. There are certain services that takes time, but there are clients that perhaps, you know, they just have a couple of spots that they want treated, and I'm always doing my research. I'm always reading our industry magazines. I'm always looking at the devices that are out there on the market. I also follow some phenomenal plastic surgeons overseas in California and in LA, and I love watching what they introduce into the equipment and the technology that they bring into their clinics and their practice. So I like to keep my finger on the pulse and see, you know, see what's coming. And if I do hear of a device that can treat concerns that the majority of our clients have in the clinic, then I know that there's always going to be that demand for that device. So we do a little bit of research internally with our clients to see whether this is something that they would like. We recently moved into the body sculpting space and introduced a device called OnDecor Sculpting, which we had a lot of clients saying, you know, we really wish you would get a machine for fat, and we really wish you would get a machine to target this and that. So we know that the demand within our existing client base is there. So we do look at devices, and that's something that it's not a decision we make quickly. Sometimes I'm researching that for at least 6 to 9 months before I've decided on a device. And I also look at partnering with the right companies. And I think this is really important. I do my research with the company. I believe that when we introduce a device, it is not a device that we roll into the clinic and the clients start experiencing. For me, it goes beyond that. For me, it goes with creating a relationship with these companies that want to see you succeed in every single way. The reputation, they want to see your client base grow. They want to see you achieve those results. The training never stops, the support never stops. And the companies, that Hi-Tech Medical, who have supplied that device, the Onda device, oh my God, they're on the phone to us every couple of days. Is there anything else you would have questions with? Can we train you any further? We're Zooming every week. They're touching base with us. It's developing a relationship with them. And I think that's really important when deciding what device to introduce to your business. I did learn very early on in the stage when I had my business in Armidale, I invested in a piece of equipment that, you know, I think I learned a lot from that lesson. It was the wrong device. A lot of money was spent, and it was not probably the best company that I could have dealt with. And that's what's made me a clever business owner. A scenario like that has made me step back and say, okay, it's not just the device, it's the company, it's the training, it's the support, it's what happens if the device goes wrong. You know, do they come out instantly and help you get you back up and running? Those sort of things need to really be looked at, I think, as a business owner, especially if you've got a business, a clinic that's very busy. If my machine goes breaks down, are they going to be here tomorrow? Is it going to take 2 weeks? So it's not just the device, it's more the company and who you're getting into partnership with. I think that's really important.
Completely. I mean, talking about recruiting and hiring therapists, business owners should be taking the same amount of importance into the way that they purchase devices. I mean, asking all of these questions, where else do you supply into? What does that ongoing support look like? What does training look like? I mean, a lot of the times we just get so caught up in the hype of trying to find this device and buy the device and how are we going to put it on Instagram and training and all of this stuff. And then the device manufacturer can go AWOL. We never hear from them again. Right. And it's a huge amount.
Exactly right. And it doesn't matter if you have the Instagram page to launch this device. If you don't have that training behind you, how are you going to deliver results? You'll only end up with a very disappointed client base. Mm. So you can have the device, but if you don't have the training and support, you don't have the results. So I think that's really important. And I get a lot of messages through our social media platforms from other salon owners. Can you tell me, you know, what's your feedback, for example, on the Onda? And I always, the advice that I give other clinic owners and that I'll give every time a million times over is if you can't have a device that you know is proven to work, save until you can. Don't purchase something that is cheap and not proven, and then you bring it into your clinic and you start rolling out these treatments and no one's seeing your results. Because if your reputation matters, then the device that you bring into your clinic needs to matter also. Yes. So I would say that save until you can afford a device that's going to truly deliver on results. There are so many copycat devices that I see going into salons and clinics, and my advice is definitely save or look at finance options to get a device with a great company that is going to be a beautiful partnership and your clients are going to be happy and it's just going to be your workhorse device in your clinic. Some of our machines run 40 hours a week. Mm. They don't stop. So do your homework and invest in great equipment and great companies. Really important.
Absolutely. And so speaking about equipment, and one of the biggest drivers to have this conversation with you is that I really wanted to find out how you were offering your laser tattoo removal for your clients who have had breast cancer radiation treatment specifically. And I'd love to find out from you what motivated you to give up your treatment time, because you are providing these treatments complimentary to your clients. And it's not every day that a business owner would put their hand up and go, I'm going to give away free treatments. So what was that motivation for you?
Look, we have a lot of our clientele who have been touched by breast cancer, who have undergone treatment themselves. And as I said previously, we do become very close and connected with our clients, and they become very special to me. They really do. And recently we had a client, a new client that was standing at the front of the clinic, and she was looking in, and it appeared to be that she was reading the signage on our clinic window. And I just observed her moving back and forth and quite hesitant. And she eventually walked through that front door and had a discussion with me where she told me about these radiation markers that she had on her body, one being in the centre of her breasts, which was visible if she wore a low neckline. She was quite emotional talking to me about it and the impact that that had on her. And when I explained to her that, you know, we can definitely remove those radiation markers through laser treatment, she was extremely overwhelmed and very emotional. And then we talked about, she asked, you know, how much am I looking at treatment-wise to remove these markers? And I said to her, this is something that I want to do for you completely free of charge. And she was just overwhelmed, extremely emotional. It was, I describe it as if she'd been freed. She just knew that she was going to free herself of these markers that were impacting her on a daily basis. And that's when I had a conversation with our clinic coordinator, Alicia, and I said, this is something that I really feel strongly about doing. I would love to offer this treatment free of charge, give up my time for these women who've already gone through so much. Let's do this for them. And that was the driving factor. And I just feel so lucky to be able to do this for these women.
Yeah, it is such a special thing that you're doing there. And so what does the treatment actually entail for the client? I mean, we've spoken on a live before, and also we've got a feature in our digital magazine, which I'll put both links to in the show notes there. But you guys are pretty adamant in your doctor clearance and your consultation before doing the treatment. Can you share with us what that looks like?
Yes. So any client coming in to have, whether it be tattoo removal or any laser treatment, we always do a full consultation that also takes into account their medical history. So a client who's coming in for the removal of radiation markers, we do request, it is a requirement that we do receive some written confirmation from their oncologist who is treating them and taking care of them post. Just a clearance to say that treating them is completely safe and it won't impact any future treatments that they may require or any medications that they're currently taking. So that is a requirement.
And so how do your therapists navigate the conversation to let your clients know that this is a service that they offer? Because we know that therapists are very empathetic. We wear our heart on our sleeve. If a client tells us they've had a crappy day, all of a sudden we leave the treatment and we feel like we've had a crappy day, because energetically we just transfer so much of that. I mean, how do you train, I guess, or, teach, mentor, coach your therapist to be able to have such delicate conversations with the clients?
We have our nurse, Kelsey, who has worked in nursing homes for quite a few years. So she has an extremely empathetic manner about her. She's a very kind and caring. I think you really need to meet this beautiful woman to understand how comfortable she makes our clients feel. So both Kelsey and myself have quite a lot of experience, having difficult conversations with clients where, you know, talking about this sort of thing may not be an easy thing for them to do. So when doing consultations, and we can see that obviously they've indicated that they have had breast cancer treatment or currently undergoing treatment, we know with that client, if they're open to discussing that as a topic, then we discuss that with them. We also, as I mentioned in one of our live chats recently is that we also have started to promote this via our social media networks to create that awareness. And that may prompt some women who perhaps haven't come into the clinic that do have those radiation markers may see that post and say, wow, there is something out there for me here in Shepparton. I can have these markers removed. So it's also creating that awareness without having to have those conversations also.
And what a special service for your clients. As you said, they just feel free, you know, and somebody has finally said, we are here, we see you, we help you. And I really, really appreciate that.
Absolutely. We treated a client just yesterday who came in and sat with us, and she, the whole time she was apologizing for, I'm sorry, I'm so emotional, I'm sorry, I'm crying. And I mean, there's no need for them to apologize. They are very emotional. And it's just reassuring them that, you know, we're on this journey with them. We really are.
Absolutely. You guys are such a progressive little business, or shouldn't say little, big business. And you're doing things well ahead of the curve. And one of those things that I noticed from you guys in COVID, which I immediately screenshot and put into our community because I was like, look what these guys are doing. This is so amazing. And you really took back control of COVID. And so you held your VIP event. And so let me get this right. You signed up 30 clients, hand-delivered skin routines with bottles of champagne, and on top of that, introduced the range to your clients virtually over Zoom and sold out in the same day. I mean, how did these ideas come to your brain?
My brain never stops, Tamara. It absolutely never stops. Throughout lockdown, I connected with the owners of Is Clinical, the formulators overseas, and I was watching them talking about their range, and it's something that I had been researching from the very beginning of last year. And when I hopped off that Zoom meeting, it's that intuition, that whole gut feeling that was going on again. I thought, wow, this is a range that I really need in my clinic. I've not seen anything like this before. The delivery system, everything about this range, just my gut was saying, you need to jump on this brand. So I called up my rep and I said to them, look, I really would love this range in my clinic. We've got the issue of COVID. We're closed. How am I going to do this? And it wasn't until a few days later, I called Virgil back and I said, I've got this idea. And she's like, what is it? I said, well, we could introduce the range to the clinic now. What I would love to do is be able to give the clients 6 products that they could try at home, and it's the top selling products. I'll deliver them to their home. We'll all click onto a live link. We'll be able to see each other, connect and engage. We'll introduce the range to them, and the clients can feel the products on their skin whilst we're demonstrating and talking to them about the products. It gives them a chance to experience the product, learn a little bit more about how the product's formulated, what it's going to do for them. And she said to me, oh my God, Kat, this idea is brilliant, but how are you going to do it with 30 clients? And I said, don't worry, my team will do this. We'll all get together. We will pack. We will organize this. We'll get it done. And she was so ecstatic with the idea that literally the next day everything started turning up and we started planning this VIP event. The team were super excited, and it all came at a time where we were feeling a little bit flat. We were missing the clinic. So it brought us all together. They were extremely excited. It was just the really uplifting thing that we needed to happen with COVID. It brought us all together. We packaged it up. We drove around to 30 homes in the local area, dropping them off at the door, and we surprised them all with a bottle of champagne so that they could have a drink with us when we all connected virtually. And our rep Virgil went through the range online, and our opening order by the end of the night had completely sold out. We'd sold absolutely everything.
So impressive. So then
it was just, the team have all expressed how it was just such a beautiful thing to connect. No one had seen each other for quite some time. We'd all had masks on down the street. We hadn't seen smiles. We hadn't seen people laughing. So the whole event, it was more to us than the range. It was connecting with our clients again, seeing smiles. There were clients who'd never met that were chatting to each other via Zoom about what their skin was doing. It was just a really beautiful experience and a perfect way to launch the range. It was amazing.
Oh, you are just so special. I wish I had half a slice of your brain to put into mine so I could come up with all of these amazing ideas as well. Speaking of getting brains ticking over, when do you slow down and what does slow down look like for you? I mean, do you believe in balance? Obviously, you've got two kids, thriving business. I mean, what does that look like?
Okay. Well, this year is my year to slow down, Tamara.
Good timing.
For the last 5 years, I think I've survived on early mornings, late nights, and lots of coffee. I don't have a particular strategy for keeping myself organized. I'm not going to sit here and say that I juggle things really well. I think for me, what I've learned to do as a business owner, as a mum, trying to maintain everything, is just prioritizing. I love a clean home. I love everything in its place, but I've also learned that that's not always going to be the case because something else might be more important that day. For me, it's just prioritizing, and I've learned to delegate this last 12 months. I now have a clinic manager, a clinic coordinator. I've engaged with an accountant. I have all the people to assist me now to allow me just to prioritize a little bit more, and allow me to spend a little bit more time on the business. So I just think it's really important not to put so much pressure on ourselves as working mums to have the business and to have the house clean all the time. And I just think that's the biggest thing I've taken away from the last 5 years, is that I need to slow down, delegate, and be okay with the fact that everything's not going to be perfect. I miss out on doing some of the things that I love. I don't get to go to the gym the way that I used to. I don't get to socialize with my friends and go out the way that I do, that I used to. But I'm okay with that. I know that sometimes that's not my priority, and sometimes it might be my team that's more important that week, or it might be the business or my children. And I've also always, since opening my clinic in Shepparton, scheduled my working hours around my children. I've made sure that the business has never been the most important thing to me. It's very important, but I've worked it around my children for the first couple of years that I had Lush in Shepparton. I never came into work before 12. I did breakfast and lunch with my children. Then I would come in and work till late in the night. So it's about priority and delegating, and then you tend to find that balance. And that's just slowly this year I've learned that it's time to slow down. So I'm looking forward to being able to do that a little bit.
This year has certainly forced us really to slow down, hasn't it? And I think a lot of people have gone, do you know what? I actually like this slower pace lifestyle.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So then tell me, that wasn't your only success during the pandemic of signing up your 30 VIP clients and selling out your entire opening order. You were also nominated for Victorian Regional Achievement Award and has also been recognised as a DMK One Clinic. Thinking back to that moment where you were standing in Armidale, you literally saw the sign. I mean, could you imagine that the business you have created now would have been started in that second story little room?
Not in a million years, Tamara. Here I was working nighttime in a factory just to scrape some money through to continue to grow this little business. And here I am years later investing in devices, you know, that are well and truly over $100,000. You know, it still makes my mind spin sometimes that I'm able to do this now. And I think that it's all come from simply having a lot of grit, a lot of determination, and a really strong work ethic and not giving up. I think I've always really backed myself. I've believed that this industry has so much to offer. I'm a very passionate therapist. And I think that's what's really seen me through to where I am today. I really believe wholeheartedly in being very honest to your clients, offering them value all the time, and delivering on an exceptional service. And I think that's what's got me where I am today and why I have such a successful business.
Absolutely. And though you have a lot of success, I'm sure you've had a lot of challenges. What's been the biggest lesson that you've learned being a business owner?
Oh my God, I don't think there's one single lesson, Tamara. There are so many amazing lessons. I think the biggest, and something that I think that's really important for me to always remember, is to remain true to who I am as a therapist. Don't try to be like someone else. Don't pretend to be like someone else. Don't try and make my business look like somebody else's. Remain true to who I am. I don't worry about what's going on around me. I'm not worried about what businesses and clinics are doing around me. I'm very focused on myself, my business, and my direction. And I think the biggest lesson for me is just, you know, look at where I am today, and that's all come from having a very clear vision of who I am, where I'm going, putting my blinkers on, and working hard to reach that end point. So I think the big thing for me is just to remain focused and remain true to who I am.
So special. Kat, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy day and busy schedule and sharing with us today. You've been so open and warm and honest with all of your answers, and I've really enjoyed this chat.
Thanks, Tamara. So did I. I'm very, very blessed to be on here today.
Isn't Kat an actual ray of sunshine, and a humble one at that? Kat has so generously shared so much knowledge with us today across startup, team, machinery, and services that I am sure you have enjoyed today. So if you'd like to continue to hear from Kat and the Lush team, you can do so by following along with their socials at Lush Skin and Laser Clinic. Us, of course, you'll find us across all of the platforms at Beauté Industry and me at Tamara Reid Beauté. If you've loved this episode and found it valuable, feel free to leave us a 5-star rating in your podcast app, share it with your industry friends and colleagues, and remember to hit that subscribe button so you're always alerted when we drop new episodes every Monday. Until next time, stay connected.